Welcome to Organized Chaos. Along with Rex Ryan, here's Bart Scott.
Welcome to another edition of Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott. Rex Ryan will be joining me shortly. Let's start off with Sunday night's game. And let me tell you something. This has been a time slot in the NFL that has not disappointed all season long. Now, let's go back to the game analysis. You talk about two heavyweight fights. You talk about potentially an NFC championship game as well. You know, you think about the history of Green Bay and what they've been through, being only 1-3 against San Francisco since LaFleur has got there, trying to get that monkey off their back after having a tough season, game one in a season. Aaron Rodgers said, hey, man, it's just one game. And let me tell you something. I picked against this team. I picked the San Francisco 49ers. I thought that they would be a lot more physical, too physical for Green Bay and their defense that's been struggling under Joe Barry. They seem to have figured it out, and they were able to stay toe-to-toe with them and actually have the lead going late into the fourth quarter. You talk about San Francisco putting up 14 points to take the lead late. Kyle Juszczyk goes in for the score to take the win. Jimmy G has set himself up to be the hero. And then what happens? They give it to that bad man. And this is what I hate about football today. Prevent defense has done nothing but prevent you from ever winning a game. I have no idea. Listen, I love D'Amico Ryan. I played against him. You know, he played for the Houston Texans. He was always an aggressive defensive player, but he went conservative. You know, you talk about, you know, the game and what happened in the last drive when Aaron Rodgers trying to go in and go ahead and salt the game away. He went man-to-man on Devontae Adams, was able to stop them on third down, get the ball back, go down and score, and then he went conservative. I have no idea why ever anybody goes prevent defense and then goes with linebackers when you got seven defensive backs. It's no threat of run. No threat of run. And what you see is you see a late dagger route by Devontae Adams in the middle of the field, 37 seconds to go. I don't know why you don't go with all DBs and press everybody. And if anybody gets in trouble, you have two extra defensive backs out there to help you get there. Long story short, A.A. Ron did A.A. Ron stuff. He was able to get him down there, get Carrasby, who was probably motivated by Justin Tucker from his game-winning field goal, to get his own. Packers win 2-1 on top of the NFC North, which we thought they would be there, but they got there in a fashion that we didn't think. So now San Francisco 2-1, they play Seattle. Seattle doesn't look like the threat that they once looked like after they went lost to Minnesota. It's going to set up for a tremendous game next week, as both teams should be trying to stay desperate as they try and keep pace with the Los Angeles Rams, who are undefeated within the division. Also, the Arizona Cardinals are undefeated within the division. But A.A. Ryan, 23 for 33, 261. Listen, he went out, he said relax, and he's taking care of business. But I think San Francisco let one get away from them. And if they get in this situation again, you can't give this bad man the ball with time still on the clock, no matter what the circumstances are. All right, guys, not my defense, not my team, not my problem. But I tell you what, the NFL is the best reality show in all of television. Week 3 did not disappoint. Let's get it started. Organized Chaos, Week 3.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott, joined as always with Rex Ryan. Welcome to Organized Chaos, the third edition. And Rex, oh my God, was today an exciting week of football. Man, I tell you, you talk about the agony of defeat to the thrill of victory in reverse. You should have saw me walking around this building, sitting here in SNY, man. I'm telling you, I was going crazy. I'm like, I was ready to drive to Baltimore and ask Hollywood Brown, what did the five fingers say to the face once I saw that they looked like they were going to lose that game? But man, oh man, what did you think about? Listen, we've seen some great kicks, Rex, but what did you think about that kick by Justin, the instant Hall of Famer Tucker?
Oh no, unbelievable. As soon as he lined up, I'm like, you know, literally somebody was sitting next to me and like, he's going to make it. I think Adam Schefter's like, he's going to make it. I'm like, it's 66 yards. There's no way in hell he's going to make it. And of course he does. And you know, it's crazy because I was the only one cheering for dang Detroit, because I was wanting my son to beat my twin brother, but which would have been an all-time epic, you know, performance right there, because we call it the Ryan Bowl. And you know, I won six straight games against my brother. And if my son would have beat him, it would have been like, really? He can't beat Detroit? But to me, though, what a kick. Like, you know, I hate kickers, but Justin Tucker, could you imagine having a guy like this? I mean, it's money. And you wonder why the Ravens win so many games. It comes down to this guy. And you know, when he gets on the field, regardless of the distance, he's going to make it. But 66 yards, an NFL record.
Yes.
And, you know, here's the other thing too, Bart. You know how we talk, well, if he doesn't make it, it's tight. No, no, no. They lose the football game if he doesn't make it. And he just drills it. It's just amazing. And look, we all know Detroit's upset because the TV version, clearly they should have moved him back for delay a game. But
yes,
hey, this might be a blessing in disguise for Detroit that they don't win. This is a team that, quite honestly, they fought their hearts out. And but you mentioned
second week in a row.
But you mentioned Hollywood Brown. He dropped three could be touchdowns. He dropped three of them. So this game never had to be that close. But what I loved about Detroit, and I've seen, like I said, every week, they play like that head coach. Like,
yeah.
They've been getting the knockdown like last Joe, but they've been getting up. And I'm going to tell you something. They came out in the second half, and man, oh man, they were competitive as hell. And Swift, they got the ball out of Goff's hands. And to me, it's like, this team they ain't quitting. They're at least, you know, fighting. And I think that Detroit fan base, they know that this isn't their year right now, but they also love the direction that this head football coach is got this team, that he's a badass. He's a genuine badass. And I think the fans enjoy that about him.
I tell you what, I think when you talk about the three drops by Hollywood Brown, a lot of times Lamar Jackson has been getting a lot of criticism for not being a great passer. But if you add just two of those drops that he had, you talk about Lamar Jackson going for over 350 yards on those and being able to separate himself. So I think sometimes it's the false narrative. I think we really realize what Lamar Jackson has been working with, because outside of Andrews, there's nobody that he can really truly depend on. And I mean, I tell you what, when a guy like Bateman gets back, then it's really going to open up, because we know that guy can catch the ball and hold on to the ball. And maybe that moves Hollywood Brown into the slot. I listen, Sammy Watkins, you're talking about situational football, right? Sammy Watkins, 15 seconds ago, this guy cuts up instead of trying to get out of bounds and gain yards so that you can have an opportunity to get another play. I mean, it took the greatest kick, you know, by any kicker of all time to get it done, man. I tell you what, the Ravens got out of there out by the hair of their chinny chin chin, and they're going to need it, man. Because I tell you what, that division, you know, is looking like it's going to be a two race, you know, as you watch what Pittsburgh did. And that was a stinker and a surpriser to me that Ben Roethlisberger looks like he's done, man. And I've been riding with Ben the entire time, man. But it's crazy, because you never would have thought that they would be get dominated like that. I understand TJ Watt's out there. What did you think about Pittsburgh getting dominated by the Bungles?
Yeah, well, first off, I guess we see about what preseason drops mean by Jamar Chase. Like, all he does is score touchdowns. But it's like he looks so dang – Big Ben looks so old right now. And to me, it's like, you know –
He ain't on the TB12. You say he's not on TB12? He need to,
yeah,
need
like,
to call, he need to
get on Brady that up right team, now. TB12 for sure or something, but he looks old and slow. But let's face it. This is still a great defensive football team. You put TJ Watt back in this lineup, they're still going to be competitive in every single game. But at the end of this season, it won't be Big Ben, you know, saying, hey, I'm wondering about playing. No, 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 son. Big Ben, you've had a hell of a career. You're a Hall of Fame quarterback, but adios. It's time to move on. And I think that's coming.
Let me ask you this, Rex. Do you think that maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers should maybe consider bringing in Cam Newton? You know, he's a guy that can sit behind Ben. He understands if he performs well, he can probably come in and be a guy that can be the future of this organization if he plays well. If Ben, listen, Ben's always hurt. He came in this game with two pectoral muscles. We know pectoral muscles are short for pulled biceps or torn biceps, you know, and Big Ben looks brittle. I mean, he fell down. I think the turf tackled Ben today. Turf got a sack today against Ben Roethlisberger. If you're the head coach, understanding with everything that you said that you have, You have a good running back. You have three great receivers, but you don't have a good backup. We know what Rudolph is, and Haskins, we don't know anything about him. If he can even play in this league, would you consider maybe cutting Rudolph and adding Cam Newton to your practice squad?
No, and I'll tell you why. First off, and I get it. If this was in training camp, maybe you make that decision, but not now. Because this guy's been with you for several years. He's going to know the system, all of those type of things. And there's no way Mike Tomlin's not going to feel more comfortable with Rudolph or Haskins than he would be Cam Newton. So, and quite honestly, I think it's pretty obvious. Look, Cam's done too, Bart. We can say he's not, but Cam's done too. And I think that's the other thing. He's not even close to being the guy he once was. So, no, I don't think Pittsburgh's going to pick up Cam Newton. And the real question is, if this continues to go this bad and he keeps going downhill, does Mike Tomlin pull the plug and say, okay, does he ever do it? I don't think he does, Bart.
You can't.
I mean, I agree. But to me, it's like, whew, we can't have too many more stinkers like this.
I tell you what, man, this is going to be interesting. That's a story to watch, man, because I don't know if Ben, you know, if he's banged up right now with the extra game, I don't know if he can even stay healthy. So if he goes to IR, I think you have to consider bringing a veteran in here, somebody that we know can play. It's not that many of them out there. You know, Cam Newton is one of them. And or you have to make a trade to try and get somebody here, because that defense is good enough and that run game and the receivers are good enough. If you have somebody, you can win ugly in this league, man. But I tell you what, once again, you talk about today was division day. We go from one division rival to the next when you talk about the Colts and King Henry. Once again, does it again. I don't know how he's able to withstand all these carries and putting the team on the back, but man, did he eject and throw Darius Leonard out of the club. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince and Uncle Phil was throwing him out the house for sneaking in, man. But, you know, he does it again. And, you know, this Tennessee team where you live, Rex, you make Tennessee your home now.
Yeah.
You know, they play like this head coach, and they won a very tough game. Now, right now, they're 2-1, and they're starting to get some momentum. They beat Seattle on the road in a tough environment. They come home and take care of business. Do you think this team can get back to maybe being one of the most dangerous teams? And I don't even know if I should say be a threat to Kansas City, because I don't know if Kansas City is the threat anymore. I don't know if that's who they're chasing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, Bart. But this is clearly one of the best teams in the AFC. They're clearly going to win that division. But with that being said, we've seen this team struggle at times. And if not, I think it flipped for Tennessee was in that second half last week against Seattle. And they just said, no, this is who we are. See if you can deal with it. And then giving King Henry 28 carries today, over 100 yards again, that's their formula. And let's face it, they absolutely dominated this football game. And the only reason that the Colts were anywhere close to it is because they turned the ball over three times. So to me, I think that was it. But the hit, you're right. The first thing I think of in this game, all right, when I'm thinking about this game is Darius Leonard's a great player. Walks around like he's badass and all that. Dude, you talk about the ejector seat. Like, it was unbelievable. He hit him. Now, look, I get it. He's coming off a block. But here come the trade. Yeah. And boom, did he just KO him. And that's the thing I get. And you know as well as I do, a big hit. A big hit.
You say it all the time, Rick.
Can change
all
the momentum of a game faster than anything. And when your baddest player on defense gets absolutely trucked, that's not a good sign for your football team.
Hey, it reminded me of Jackass, the movie, when they were sitting on the airbags and getting on a shit. I tell you what, man, that's something to watch, man. But I guess the surprising game of this week was Kansas City, man. Like, I mean, listen, I knew that the Chargers were good, but man, like, is it a problem? Is this something that we should keep our eye on in Kansas City? I'm sure they can figure it out, man, but this defensively, do they have enough to stay competitive? And offensively, with this new offensive line, I don't know if they look the same, man. They don't look the same to me. They don't look as dominant.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Bart. You turned the ball over four times, you ain't going to beat anybody. And this team, look, they're a bobbled punt away from being 0-3 right now. So think of that. Here, everybody's saying this is the team automatically going to the Super Bowl. Well, you might want to keep winning a game at a time, because right now you're not doing it. And we used to have a name for Kansas City. Remember? We said was something else that sounded like City. Kansas City. And it was like they're bad on defense. And it seems like unless they have everything going for them, you know, Tyron Matthew is you know, the Honey Badger's healthy. Clark's healthy. You got Chris Jones healthy. Everybody has to be healthy. Well, they never had Clark today, so they get beat. Like, I don't get it. And to me, this is a team that, I mean, their offense has to outscore you because their defense they're average at best, and they continue to be that. And that's going to give them, I tell you what, they are going to have all they want in that division. And the Chargers are one of those teams. Like, you know, this team right now is 2-1, but they could easily be 3-0. So you're right. I mean, and by the way, Mike Williams is a red zone threat. Okay. I want to repeat that to the Kansas City Chiefs because they don't understand it. He is a red zone threat and he's always going to get it. Him and Keenan Allen. It blows me away every time I watch him play. And the Chargers should have beat him the last three times they played him.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a fact. Now you've got other teams that are playing every bit as good as the Kansas City Chiefs. So, you know, we'll see about how this team goes. But until their defense bows their neck a little bit, I don't see them as being anywhere close to being a shoe-in as the best team in the AFC.
I tell you what, it feels like to me like this is a team that has had success 2 years and they're bored by the regular season and they think they're the Golden State Warriors and they can just turn it on. And maybe they're starting to feel themselves just a little bit, and the rest of the league aren't afraid of them anymore. Right, they're not afraid of Patrick Mahomes. They realize that he's mortal because he's starting to have these turnovers. And they're saying, hey, man, we can beat this team. And it seems like everybody has a little bit more confidence going on. Right. So from one, you know, team to the next, man, you know, sometimes you have to be careful what you wish for in this league, Rex. And like we said before, Matt Nagy and Pace see Justin Fields in practice every single day. And listen, I've seen some low completion rates. But 6'20", man, 6'20". Listen, I said this before, Rex. I've said this before. I talked about Justin Fields and the fact that he had a great offensive line at Ohio State, but he was sacked 52 times in 22 games. And sometimes being athletic and being able to get out of trouble with your feet is a good thing, but sometimes it can be a bad thing as well because you rely on them too much instead of getting rid of the football. This dude was sacked 9 times. Now, me and you have been a part of outings where we had it dialed up. Ooh. And we've sacked people 9 times. But, man, it is hard to get 9. I'm telling you what, Garrett might have put himself in the Pro Bowl just today and being able to get to him. What do you think about Justin Fields? And have Nagy left the door open when he said that, hey, Dalton's our starter, to be able to bench the young kid? Because clearly he's not ready.
Well, I mean, we can say that, but their whole football team's not ready. That performance just wasn't on Justin Fields. It certainly started with the coaching staff, and then it goes to Justin Fields, and it goes to this guy. You know, by the way, the one dude's retired, never told anybody, and that's that Jason Peters. Dude, I mean, you talk about a guy. He watched. He was like us. He was wanting to watch Myles Garrett because that's all he did. He never laid a glove on him. And so, to me, I get it. But I've also seen Randall Cunningham gave up over 100 sacks one season. And we can say he wasn't ready. All he did was go on and win like 3 MVPs. So to me, that's who this kid reminds me of. And you got to play him. There's going to be some growing pains. But, you know, do you really think Andy Dalton was going to get out of the way today against Myles Garrett and beat the Cleveland Browns? I don't think so. So to me, stay the course with this kid and let's see it. But, you know, there's going to be questions about game planning. There's going to be questions about all kinds of things after watching this performance. One thing that I may say, if I'm looking for the best team in the AFC right now, there's no way you can have that conversation without putting the Cleveland Browns at the top. And I've learned I want to put Baltimore up there, but I can't. I can't do it. So to me, I look at the Cleveland Browns. They should have beat Kansas City. Good. They got a guy that couldn't catch. He got a haircut. He's going to punt better. But they destroyed. They had 47 yards of total offense. Okay, this Chicago Bear attack, like if you call it that. I get it. They stink. Their defense wasn't any good either. The Browns have a two-headed monster. They're playing great. They are playing sky high right now, and they think they can beat anybody in this league, and they should. They're the most talented team in the National Football League, but this is the first time I've seen their defense play to their ability.
I tell you what, you talk about OBJ, everybody was concerned with how he was going to mesh coming back, and he only went 5 for 77. He looked like Odell Beckham. You know, he had nine targets, 5 receptions. You know, that's good right there. But I wonder if they still can be able to work together when Landry gets there, because we know that some of those targets has to go to Landry's. You know, so, right now, so far, so good. But, we'll see, steel sharpens steel, and eventually they're going to play the Ravens, and hopefully the Ravens have all their cast of characters when you talk about maybe getting Bateman back and being able to have a full assault where they can go against the best, can go against the best, and we can see like how they pan out that way, man. You talk about, youngsters struggling today. It wasn't just isolated to Zach Wilson. It wasn't just isolated to Justin Fields. I think maybe Mac Jones, Mac and Cheese, maybe had a little bit of a reality check. The fact that, he had to do more than just be check down Charlie today. What did you think about his performance? And, was it more about the Saints and their sense of coaches not being around? Is this the real Saints? We know that they're great on defense, but, I think the Saints are in a worse situation than anybody. They can't practice at home. Some of these guys are dealing with issues with flooding. And last week, the Superdome caught on fire. They got COVID. They're getting adversity at the beginning of the season, but they're handling it about as good as you can expect anybody to handle the situation in which they find themselves in day in and day out.
Yeah, and what they did, the Saints won this game because they protected the football, where New England had the three interceptions. So that was obviously the biggest difference in the game. And Mac Jones, yes, he's a young quarterback. He struggled against that pressure defense and getting your face man cover type things. He struggled some. He doesn't have the arm. I tried to tell everybody, this ain't Tom Brady. When everybody say, "Oh, Rex, yes, he is." No, he's not. He ain't a first ballot Hall of Famer. He looks like a million damn guys that have played in this league that don't have great arm talent. They're smart, they're heady guys and all that stuff. Hell, I remember that dude that everybody
Chase Daniels about.
Like the kid from Harvard that we used to play. Everybody thinks he's a great quarterback. Never been to a damn playoff game in 18 years. So it's the same thing with this guy. He's a smart guy, but he's got a 5 out of 10 arm. He's not a difference maker back there. Can he game manage? Yeah, he can game manage. That's what I see him doing. And we'll see if his career pans out where he's actually more than a game manager, which everybody wanted to jump and put him in the Hall of Fame. So I was kind of happy to see it, to be honest with you.
Oh, man. And I know later on in this broadcast, we're going to talk a little bit about what's coming up for them this week. And you talk about Brady Bowl. You talk about that coming up. So it doesn't look so well. Like I said last week, in watching the teams in the AFC East, it looks like the Bills and everybody else. But, that's a discussion for a later time. How do you feel about Sean Payton and how he's deciding to manage Jameis Winston? Jameis Winston threw for 128. And listen, it's one of those, no, 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 yes, yes, yes. When he throws the hand grenade to the end zone, it worked out in his favor. But, we know in this league, the same thing make you laugh, make you cry.
Yeah, but I think it wasn't as reckless as that, because he put the ball where he's supposed to, over the face mask, where only his guy can catch that thing. In the back of the end zone. So I don't think it was that big of a deal. But what they did do is, like I said, they protected the football. He did throw 2 touchdowns, no picks, and they ran the ball. And guess what? They put Taysom Hill in there to run that thing in there too. So that's what they need to do. Shoot, they used to play him when Drew Brees was out there. They certainly exactly. should give this guy more opportunities to play that position as well. So I think they're going to get back on track. Yeah, And you know what? You get Lattimore healthy. This team will be just fine. It's, they had the they laid an egg, obviously, the past week. But, Sean Payton, my money's on him. I think Jameis, it was unfortunate what happened last week. But, he played much better in this game.
All right, man, I'll tell you what, rapid fire. I'm gonna throw 3 things at you, and then let's see what you got for me. Okay, Eli being retired. How you feel about Eli and the Giants once again 0-3?
Yeah, I think the big thing is going to be, is Eli going to be a Hall of Famer? We know his jersey got retired at halftime, and that was great. I think Eli's a tremendous player. He has the two Super Bowl rings. But right now, the Giants look far from a Super Bowl team. You know, we got Joe Tough Guy is 0-3, you know, and I don't get it. I will say this. Saquon Barkley looks like he's coming back a little bit, and Daniel Jones looks better and better. But, you know, he did have the one, sack, strip sack, but he got on it in a hurry. I think this team can improve, but, again, they lost a tough one. But here's the thing. There was no difference in those two teams, and they were playing the Atlanta Falcons. So is it a concern? Yes. They do play in the NFC East, so it gives them a chance.
I'll tell you what, but they got some tough opponents coming up, man. Listen, Cliff Kingsbury, we saw some exciting plays, right? Maybe not some great games, but we saw some exciting plays, man. One of them was Matt Prater, I understand. Maybe he had hurt, or maybe he felt like maybe that he felt that Baltimore went for a 66-yarder. So Matt Prater, who used to have the record at 64 yards, was like, hey, Tucker's not going to one-up me. But, man, remember we did that first. Remember we did that whole thing first with Chris McAllister, the whole put the DB back there or the punt returner back there and catch it. And Chris McAllister went for, I believe at the time it was a record, at 104 on Monday Night Football against the undefeated, invincible, Denver Broncos at the time. And we just put on a show and beat the brakes off of them. But, Jamal Agnew, is Cliff Kingsbury just saying, listen, man, if we got to score points, we'll score points. We it's all good. Can he take chances because his offense is playing so well?
Well, he could take chances because he's playing Jacksonville. You know what I mean? But I think that's one reason. But, the kid in Prater's kick happened before, Tucker's, obviously, but it was right before half, and he just thought, let's give it a shot, and no big deal. Well, it is a big deal because you got to cover it. And, Bart, I don't know if you remember we were working it all the time.
Yes.
Return the thing to our sideline because you never know. Offensive linemen may start walking off the field going exactly into their sideline. And now we got another one coming through. So start it up the field and then bring it down to your own boundary. And plus officials don't happen to see blocks in the back or anything else as much on your sideline. So that's how we used to teach it. I remember, we would teach it that way. And you're right. We return one for it. Remember Chris McAllister?
Yeah.
And I remember Ray Lewis
had Al Wilson.
Oh, he hit Al Wilson. And remember, Al Wilson's as good as Ray Lewis.
Bam.
Oh, he's not. But it was a great one, a great hit. But the other thing, too, is, Bart, I'm looking at this, man. You want to see an ass whipping. How about what the Bills did to Washington? And if there's a more overrated defense. NFL right now than Washington, I'm not sure I know which defense that is. I have no idea.
Yeah, man, you don't understand. Like, listen, we've been great defense together, and they'll realize that rents always do. Just because you did something last year has absolutely nothing to do with the new year. Everybody, I think, is taking it personal. They think they had a fearsome foursome up there. And, man, I tell you what, man, they're getting a break speed off of them. They're supposed to be the most dominant defense in the league. I don't even know if they're going to finish top 10, man, because they may be good up front, but at the back end, it's not tied. And they're not getting the sacks and being as disruptive as we think. Just ask Chase Young if you ever want to see Slater from San Diego again. He's like, I'll bypass that one. I think he's going to start lining up on the other side and say, Sweat, you go get that action because I don't want none of that. But I tell you what, man, this has been a tremendous week, man, and we just getting started. And we're going to break down the 4 o'clock games in a little bit, Rex. We may have just witnessed the NFC Championship game. Oh, yeah. How did it turn out, Rex? We'll talk about that more after this when we welcome you back to Organized Chaos.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott. Y'all know who I am, and there's no need to introduce Rex Ryan. Welcome back to the second installment. We're going to talk about the 4 o'clock games that didn't disappoint, and we're going to start with the one we've always waiting for, maybe a preview of the NFC Championship game. It was the Bucks and terrific Tom and his beautiful chin, looking like he should live in L.A., and it was against Matthew Stafford, who looks like he was released from Shawshank Redemption. He looked like Andy out there, Rex. He looks like he's a new man, rejuvenated. And I know you said that he never won a playoff game, but man, if it's been somebody that fits with a type of swag, McVay's running around like he's crazy. Like, it was an amazing game, man. What did you think about it? Did you think that it would go this way and be this easy for the Rams?
Yeah, hell no, I didn't think. I picked Tampa because they have Tom Brady, and it was wrong. I can't ever get that team right. But you know what's funny? Sean McVay owns Tampa. Say what you want, but he owns Tampa. Look how many yards they put up last year. They had Jared Goff put up like 400 yards against Tampa Bay and when they played at Tampa last year. So he's got the formula. And for whatever reason, that's what it looks like to me. Did it not look like, Bart, that this is the best football team in the NFL? The Rams?
It looks like the most complete. I mean, yeah. I would wish they would have some better running. You know what I mean? Sony Michel, I wish he was a little better. I thought he was a little bit more twitchy, man. Like, he seems like he's like been a player that's had a lot of injuries. Maybe he's still trying to figure the offense out. But, man, could you imagine if Matthew Stafford would have actually hit DeSean Jackson on some of those wide-open, you know, plays he was on? He might have threw for 600 yards. And I said before this season, if anybody had the opportunity to kind of break that record, I believe it was Matthew Stafford. It seems like they're playing a more controlled type of offense. You know, remember when the Rams went to the Super Bowl, it was based on Todd Gurley being able to really run the football. Now, I know maybe they were doing that because – you know, they believed that Goff wasn't ready to be able to handle the passing game as well as Matthew Stafford. But Matthew Stafford gets these guys out of bad plays. Did you see when they had a run and he saw the automatic blitz coming from the slot?
Oh, yeah.
From the corner. He threw it, and, like, nobody knew he threw it, but it was just a communication. That's what I talked about. Are we ready? Are we ready to start speaking about Matthew Stafford as an elite quarterback and a true MVP? Because he was my preseason MVP, Rex.
Yeah, and looks like a great pick because – look, we've known Matthew Stafford's always had the ability. Like, there's nobody on the planet that didn't think Matthew Stafford had the ability to be a great quarterback. But here, what a perfect marriage. Now you got Sean McVay. And we talk about creativity of Sean McVay. Are you kidding? Look how creative he is about getting the ball down the field. And, Bart, you're right. If Matthew Stafford's arm doesn't get hit by – my favorite guy that I can't pronounce.
Vita,
his name,
Vita, 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 Vita,
Vita, Vita, Vita, Vita, Vita, Vita, Vita, Vita, whoever. That dude is a monster. But he hit his arm just as he was throwing. And if Stafford could have laid into it, you're right. It would have been a touchdown. And D-Jack, what is he, 34 years old, whatever it is?
Yeah, like, man.
And hell, he shows up. He's on my fantasy bench. That never helped me. So either way, it's like – but I'm just like, this guy looks outstanding, and this offense is rolling. And you're right, has nothing to do with the ground game, unfortunately. But if they can ever get that ground game going, watch out. And Aaron Donald, I love what they did schematically. They say, you know what, they're putting that, you know, their studs inside, and they're banging on Aaron Donald and Stid. So, all right, I'm going to put him outside and put three guys away from him. That way you got to slide. Your center has to work away. And then they let him isolate Aaron Donald over there, and he did a great job. He won consistently, got the big strip sack against Brady, had some other hits, and he just was a monster on the field, and that's it. And like I say, you got two of the best defensive players in the league on one defensive unit in Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. So this, to me, you're right, Bart, when you said looks like the most complete team, does to me also, you know, right here. And Tampa, you know, with Tom Brady, did they not look slow as hell? Like, again, you're going to look slow when you get – your ribs broke, like Gronk had. Like, God, the fact that he came back, it's like, damn, one tough cookie. But he couldn't move. But all those guys looked a little slower. They missed AB for sure in that game, but he wouldn't have been the difference in this one. The Rams totally dominated that game.
Now, I wonder, though, you know, sometimes when teams play each other, you know, schematically, and you got a reservation with each other, you're going to see each other later. You know, I wonder how much data that Tampa gathered to understand, okay, this is how they're going to play us. And, you know, it's about, it's like matchups. You know, some of the greatest chess matches I ever used to realize was you against Peyton Manning when you used to devise the scheme, and you against Bill Belichick. Because what people don't realize in the game that we had to bury the football, the game before we had beat them, and then when we got into the postseason, we knew that they thought that they were going to get something, they were going to prepare for man-to-man, and we had matchup zones for you. So I wonder if it's anything that Todd Bowles gathered from how they play and Bruce Arians gathered that's going to help them going forward. Because I think when they go back and you think about Bruce Arians and they watch how McVay was running around like a child, you know, and laughing and running to the tunnel, that they're going to show that. And that may be the motivation that Tampa needs to go in there and play with a chip on their shoulder. Because I think they just got a big slice of humble pie and a big dose of reality that it's not going to be a cakewalk to get back to the promised land.
Yeah, great point, Bart. And you know as well as I do, there's one guy you don't want to piss off and put a chip on his shoulder, and that's Tom Brady. And believe me, it's going to be there. And you know he's going to be talking about that the whole time. Look, Tom Brady hated you, and he hated me even worse. Yeah. So he wanted to rub our nose in it, and he's going to try to do the same thing with McVay. Okay, little pretty boy, you're running down the sideline. Let's see you run down the sideline after we kick your ass. Like, he will be at his very best. There's no question about it. But I do have a feeling that these two teams will meet again, Bart.
Absolutely, Rex. I tell you what, and listen, to tell the two halves, you talk about, you know, how they came out. It was close for a minute, and then, you know, the Rams just blew it wide open, man. Also, the Rams survived. So let's go to the Rams, because your Rams, who you talk about that division, you know, that AFC West, you know, the Rams remain to be undefeated. I know it was a tough one, you know, going against Jacoby Brissett. It goes into overtime, but they found a way. And Derek Carr, you know, maybe a sneaky MVP pick as well, as he threw again for like 386. And listen, it was tough, but it's never pretty. But they're finding ways to win tight games and not lose them like they traditionally do. What do you think about the Raiders? And can the Raiders be a legitimate threat to Kansas City, to Denver, also to the Chargers within that division?
Yeah, absolutely. They know they can beat all those teams. The Raiders know they can beat every one of those teams that you just mentioned. And, you know, last year they obviously beat the Chiefs when they were the Chiefs and nobody could beat them. Well, the Raiders beat them. So, to me, they already know that going in. They have way more confidence with their defense right now. They're generating a lot more pass rush than they've done in the past. They bring in Gus Bradley, who made it easier, you know, for their defense. And they're playing really good. So, but to me, you're right. I mean, how many times have we seen the Raiders lose those games? Like, that's all they did. They majored in it. And we said for years, you know, winning is contagious. Unfortunately, so is losing. Yeah. This team had to get over that hump. And I think that big win opening week against the Baltimore Ravens, they could put it back. When that game went into overtime, the Raiders were confident. And that's how they played.
Hey, Rex, I tell you what, man. Sad news. Sad, sad news. The Jets stink. Giants stink. New York radio is going to suffer. I mean, like, I mean, these guys have been outscored 46-3. And the Giants, once again, are 0-6. Like, which of these winless teams, like, should we start betting the under or the over? Hey,
the Giants aren't 0-6 yet. They're 0-3, Bart. But I think you got a little foreshadowing right there.
Are we already trying to figure out, like, you know, serious question, are we still trying to figure out, like, which one of these teams are going to have the number one pick? You know, and if they do, if the Giants end up with the number one pick, you know, are they going to stick with Daniel Jones? Because I believe Daniel Jones isn't the problem. Shoot. He's been playing well, but we understand that if it continues this way, not only is it probably going to be a new general manager, but if a new general manager comes in there, are they going to keep the coach? And if that's the case, are they going to keep the running back if they have the number one pick? I mean, I know they got the kid from Ole Miss. They got the kid from Liberty. Do they reset the clock? Because we just watched this happen across town with the Jets, you know, keeping Sam Darnold. Some people may think they should have kept Sam Darnold, but they reset the clock and they move forward. Do you think the Giants do the same?
No, I think Daniel Jones will be their guy. I mean, I do. And looking at the so-called prospects coming up, I saw that Spencer Rattler – you know, and he's supposed to be all this and that. I don't see it. So to me, I mean, Daniel Jones is, you know, it's funny because I said I gave up, but I hate the turnovers. And that to me is coaching. Like, God, can we not get this guy right? He's way too good an athlete to turn the dang ball over as many times as he does. But the other side, it's like, whew, Zach, he looked awful in this game. I protected him last week, but he absolutely looked awful a little bit. It looks like it's too big right now. But hang in there. You got to keep going.
It's too big.
Like the Jets missed that big tackle again. He's hurt, but it's like, you know, let's quit making excuses and it's time to get better. And as a coaching staff, the one dude looks like he's about 20 years old coaching that offense.
But yes, and that's my issue, Rex.
By the time the season's over, homeboy's going to be as gray as me. So because this is, you know, in New York, it gets a little tough. But I think they got to hang in there, stay the course. I think they wish their defense had a little more fight to them. You know, they're playing okay, but I expected, you know, like me as a head coach, D coordinator type, that I want my defense to be the baddest unit on the field, and they really haven't been that. The Denver's defense was clearly that today.
Yeah, they hang in there a little bit. I tell you what, but you know, you bring up an interesting point. You talk about the young coordinator, rookie coordinator with a rookie, quarterback. I thought that maybe I know Knapp. You know, they lost it. They lost the guy that was supposed to be the quarterback passing game coordinator,
right.
And that hurt him a lot. You know, what I mean, that's a tragic thing. Nobody can anticipate that. But maybe they should bring in a consultant like Belichick, like Brian Billick brought in Jim Fossil, just to kind of oversee everything and maybe about some things.
But they got Matt Kavanaugh, who we know very well was with us. Yeah. And to me, I think they. You know, but I know the kind of guy Matt is. Matt's not going to step in and stand on the table until they want him to. Matt's a team guy all the way, a great guy, but a team guy. But they need to lean on him right now. And they need to say, okay, we have a young quarterback, Matt. What do we need to do a little different? Give me some ideas. And Matt will be political as hell with it. He's going to sit back and say, well, listen, hey, I think we're doing a great job. This is something we may consider. And that's exactly how it's going to go. It won't be his decision. It'll come from the coordinator and the head coach. But believe me, Matt would be somebody that I personally would lean on. We'll see if they do.
Well, if you listen to Robert Saleh's post game, you would hear that he's starting to point a little fingers at the coordinator, saying we got to be better because whatever you're putting in isn't working, and that's how you can lose a team faster than anything when you're putting something in and they're saying it's not working, because then they lose belief in your ability to put them in the best position to be successful. Corey Davis has to catch the damn ball. You talk about 10 targets dropping the ball.
Right.
They're not running the ball. You know, you talk about a great offensive line or big guys. You got them running sideways. We love when big guys run sideways because you can set the edge from the inside, because guys going lateral, you get knock them back. It's a wrap. You know, but that's another story. This is almost I know it's personal to us, but we've already said too much about about the Jets on any broadcast anyway.
Good
so let's move on that way, because, you know, that'll drive me crazy. But a team that I can't figure out, Rex, and please help me to kind of figure this out. I mean, I thought that the Seattle Seahawks was elite. I thought that it was a 4-team race in the NFC West. But, man, they lose to Minnesota. And it's not like they barely lose it. I mean, they losing at home. And that was supposed to be an advantage. The crowd is back. You know, it's like, you know, I know how important like this is for them to kind of keep Russell Wilson happy, because Big Russ was trying to get out of here. The Sierra can't be singing in the fish mark, man. She already want to be in a big market. And now, you know, if this goes bad, you know, they may be, you know, trying to make a trade for Russell and starting this thing all over with, man. Are they in danger? Do you believe in Seattle? And if they don't get to the postseason, what does that mean for Russell and his future with Seattle?
Yeah, well, I mean, first off, I mean, you're right. When Seattle lost that game at home the other week, you know, we're sitting back going, man, we don't see that very often. You know, they're up, you know, 24-9. You would think that they would close it out, but they lost, you know, at home. Now they go to Minnesota. You're like, that's okay. Russ can get it done. There's no Dalvin Cook there. And they still got smoked. So to me, yes, they got some real questions, but that defense is horrendous. I don't care how good Russell Wilson is. Their defense is absolutely horrendous. And Pete Carroll's got to be pulling his hair out. Like Legion of Boom. Boom, what do you call their defense now?
The Legion with no Boom.
The Legion with no Boom. It's like, oh, my God. Like, that's their biggest problem.
Listen, Ken Norton, let's keep it real, man. Ken Norton, man, I don't know what pictures he got on people. I don't know if he got somebody on film or something. But it's the reason, the fact that he hasn't been fired, listen, I hate firing people. But that dude has been an awful coordinator for a couple of years now. And maybe, it was always about the players and not the scheme because he doesn't make adjustments. This team last year was on one of the most, of the worst runs of all time, and he's still there.
I think the reason Pete Carroll doesn't fire him, we all know Ken Norton with that left hook. We said it. Yeah. Like, he got a left hook and knock his head off. So he can't fire him face-to-face. If Pete Carroll's going to fire him, send him a text message, something like that, lock the doors, and you don't have to take the punch in the face. So that would be my recommendation for Pete. But, again, something's got to happen, man. And Ken Norton, everybody loves him. When a former player is a coordinator, boy, all those former players love it and all that. But is he really up to the task? I'm not so sure.
I tell you what, man. We'll see. That's something to watch because at what point does Pete Carroll say, I'll do it myself. If I'm gonna go down, I'm gonna go down swinging my way. I'm not about to sit here and let you bring me down. And we know his job is secure there, but at some point you got to say, we got to move on. We got to shake things up because that voice gets old. But I tell you what, man. Let's talk about. Let's look forward to Monday Night Football. Like, this has been a tremendous run, man. And we haven't been disappointed on Monday Night Football yet this year, man. And this one shouldn't disappoint because everybody's talking about Michael Parsons and how he can play defensive end. Okay, you like playing defensive end? Come get baptized by Lane Johnson. If he can play well against Lane Johnson, being that he's never played defensive end, then I'll tip my hat to the youngster, man. But I just don't see it happening. And, you talk about the Cowboys. It's always a story, man. Lionel Collins. Really?
Oh, my goodness.
Really? Really? Like, how much did you offer to do, right?
But, Bart, remember, this was the guy his agent came out, made a huge stink about how this is bull, this is ridiculous and all that. No, what's ridiculous is the man tried to pay his way out of there. Like, oh, my goodness. So, to me, and here's why I'm all upset about it. That dude cost me $20,000 when I was a coach of the Bills. I tried to convince him to be a free agent with us.
Come you.
And all that. And I went down there illegally, apparently. It cost me $20,000. So, Collins, if you're going to pay some money, how about paying me back $20,000 and I won't laugh at you for this, but I'm going to laugh at it right now. Like it's like, this is something the NFL didn't want out, but I'm sure it came out for that reason. But hey, Eagles, Cowboys, man, that's always an amazing matchup. When you get back to it, it goes back to my days when supposedly they had Buddy Bounty Bowl or something like that, which my dad would have done that. No way. Even though he knocked the kicker out, knocked Aikman out or whatever. There's no way he would have done that. Trust me on that. But it's always been a great one. Always been good.
Is it as lopsided of a matchup as people may think? Because I think we may be underselling, the offensive line, of the Eagles. Yeah. Also, the skill position, two good tight ends and two young good receivers. Let's see if they can step up. Let's see if this Cowboys defense really is new and improved and not just, the bottom half of the league. Let's see if they can be 15 or better. Let's see if they can be middle of the pack.
Yeah, right, exactly, Bart. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And let's face it, you got Amari Cooper out there with, like, cracked ribs. Even if he plays, which I'll tip my hat to him for, but because I, in the past, I haven't thought he's the most bravest cat of all time. But if he plays, that'll be good, but he's got to play well. There's been times when, and against the Eagles, he generally does step up and play well. So Amari Cooper has to be a huge factor, regardless of the ribs or whatever in this game. But, that's why I think this is going to be a way better game than people are assuming. Dallas is going to run all over Philly. What? You don't know anything about the Philly Philly-Dallas rivalry, if that's what you're thinking. So I expect a huge game, a big game, and it should be – I mean, I can't wait to watch it. It should be a great one.
I tell you what, I usually don't like to start talking early about games that I'm looking forward to, but man, oh man, I can't help myself because even on Get Up, the first thing I talked about when they asked me what I couldn't wait for before the season started, and I said I couldn't wait for week four when Tom Terrific was going back home and they had to honor him. And now you talk about Guerrero coming out and adding some logs to the fire. You talk about Tom's dad coming out, adding some logs to the fire. Now you talk about Terrific Tom being embarrassed and losing on national television and going back home, trying to make a statement. And I tell you what, he's going to be trying to say, okay, this guy's me. You guys are good. You guys could have still had me Terrific Time here. I still had a lot to give. What do you see with this game, and how excited are you about seeing this game, and what can this mean, and what's the ramifications or the implications? Is that a good word? Ramification, implications?
All those words are good. I don't know if it works here, but it's
– But you know, Hey, Rex, I got an associate's degree, man. I tell you what. I'm just throwing words out of the thesaurus out there. Let me tell you what.
It doesn't matter because they're working good. But when I look at this one here, here's the one I can't wait. I can't wait for New England to have to face Tom Brady, just like the rest of us would go in there and see what that's like. See what it's like to get your butt kicked by Tom Brady. I can't wait to watch this one. And, you know, you got your new son. Go ahead and cheer for your little guy over there. Let's see what happens. You're going to see the real Tom Brady on the other side. So what I can't wait to see. And you know what? It's such a big game, man. Me and the countdown crew will be on site for this one right here.
Oh, on site.
Right outside. And here's the thing. I'm a little nervous because the Pat fans love me. I get it. They love me out there. They do. They love me. But, you know, we also have Hall of Famer, you know, Randy Moss. We got Teddy Bruschi, you know, great Patriot fame. And then we got, you know, Boston College's own Matt Hasselbeck. So everybody's going to get some great ovations. And Sam, of course. And I'm sure I'll get a great ovation there too. Don't you think, Bart? You think they like me out there? You know?
Yeah, they're going to treat you like Bill Laimbeer was treated in every arena he ever went in, Rex. But let me tell you, that's a sign of endearment for those Pat fans. I tell you what, it's going to be crazy, Rex. Yeah, tell me this. Are you going to pick them so you can win them over? Are you going to pick
Hell
them?
No. Hell no. I'm telling you right now, I'm taking Tampa. I'm taking Tom Brady. Whoever he decides to go to, if Tom decides to play for the Patriots that day, I'm going to take Tom Brady and the Patriots. But I think he's going to stay and play with the Bucs. I'm going to take the Bucs with Tom Brady, and that's going to be my pick. But, oh, yeah, those guys are, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. But how cool is it going to be? Like, let's face it, this is the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Everybody absolutely loved Tom Brady. How many kids are named Tom or Brady? And same thing with dogs and everything else. Everybody had one. Well, we got our dog Brady. We got our son Brady. We got this. We got that. Everybody loves Tom Brady. Are they – what is their response going to be? Are they going to cheer Brady when he throws a touchdown to Gronk? Or are they going to sit back and boo the crap out of him and all that stuff?
They bet not boo. They listen. I think they're going to all look at Bill. You did this to us, Bill. You did this to us. He was ours. You ran him away. And maybe the argument may be settled. Who was more important?
That argument was settled when Brady won a Super Bowl. And – You won what? They won six games last year. When I kept telling man. You, like, it ain't fun when the rabbit's got, you know, when he's got
the gun.
So I'm sorry about it. Now you felt like everybody else. Hey, you know, Belichick, you're a great coach. You're a great coach. But guess what? Players win in this league.
Yeah.
You never had them last year. You got your butt kicked. And it's fun to see for me to sit back and go, like, damn, I wish I had Tom Brady. You know what I mean? It's going to be epic. It's going to be awesome out there. And
I want to see the highlight video. I want to see the video and the tribute because they have to give him a video and a tribute. They bet they might roll out a statue. They better do something. And I tell you what, it's going to be interesting to see, man. But I tell you what, it's going to be interesting to also see that post-game handshake / hug. And you're going to see how Brady really, really feels, man. And I tell you what, Rex, to avoid having – because we can talk all day. Yo, so to avoid that, we're going to save some for next week, man. And it's been real. It's always a pleasure talking to you, man. It's always good doing this. I look forward to this every week. I'm Bart Scott. He's Rex Ryan. This has been another episode of Organized Chaos Podcast. Rex and I will be dropping a new podcast each week to break down NFL weekend until the Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday, we'll be there, Rex. You'll be there. Maybe they'll fly me out. You can put me in your luggage. They'll flip the bill. I'll stay in the Best Western. It don't matter. I'm not a fancy guy. I'm an undrafted free agent. Listen, tune in also from 12 to 3 o'clock Eastern as I go on my show, Barton Hine, on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. And you can catch Rex Ryan every Sunday on Countdown and Monday mornings on Get Up. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. I holla.
Thanks for listening to Organized Chaos. Check back for new episodes every Monday morning all season long, wherever you get your podcasts.